The common one with all youth is going to be social media. That's going to be probably their number one concern is how many likes they're getting on social media, who likes them, who follows them, blah, 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 so on. So I think that's a big concern. Ones that have had a sort of a bit of exposure to something other than that, that have had a bit of an insight into actually topics that are happening in the world and things they should be worried about, there are some, but I think the biggest one is how people perceive them. I think that's what people are really most worried about, and especially in the education world.
When you say worry, is it concerned? Do you mean to say they want their image accepted?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So it's image, how they look, how they present themselves, mm-hmm. and
who likes them, who doesn't. People want to be popular, and then the people that are popular don't want to be popular. So, I mean, it's a bit of a funny one, especially in the school environment. It's just breeding this sort of, well, I see it as a negative...
Approach.
Not even approach, but it's a negative environment for young people because they're getting cut up and caught up in these very minimal things that they shouldn't actually be worried about, but it just captures them, and then as soon as they want to get out of it, it brings them back in.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. Today I'm on the Turitaka coast in Northland, here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and I'm with Jesse Page. He's a teenager who has experienced a lot in his life for a person of his age. And the reason I want to talk to him today is to get an insight as to how he and his generation sees life, especially here in New Zealand, getting close to the year 2020. So, kia ora, hello, Jesse.
Hello, Tim. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm very well. I'm good.
And
I'm,
thank you for coming out.
Yeah, well, this is a lovely, lovely day outside, and I'm just thrilled I can finally get you as a 14-year-old who has a good handle on many things. And so I'm wanting to ask, what are the concerns of youth?
What are the concerns of youth? Well, I think that's it's a big question.
It is.
Youth, it's also like an age thing. What youth are we talking about? Are we going like the older youth, 18, 19, or younger? Because the thing is a common one with all youth is going to be social media. That's going to be probably their number one concern is how many likes they're getting on social media, who likes them, who follows them, blah, 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 so on. So I think that's a big concern. Ones that have had a sort of a bit of exposure to something other than that, that have had a bit of an insight into actually topics that are happening in the world and things they should be worried about, there are some, but I think the biggest one is how people perceive them. I think that's what people are really most worried about, and especially in the education world.
When you say worry, is it concerned? Do you mean to say they want their image accepted?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So it's image, how they look, how they present themselves, mm-hmm. and
who likes them, who doesn't. People want to be popular, and then the people that are popular don't want to be popular. So, I mean, it's a bit of a funny one, especially in the school environment. It's just breeding this sort of, well, I see it as a negative...
Approach.
Not even approach, but it's a negative environment for young people because they're getting cut up and caught up in these very minimal things that they shouldn't actually be worried about, but it just captures them, and then as soon as they want to get out of it, it brings them back in.
Okay, so we've got the generation that's coming through,
mm-hmm.
and they've got their technology,
yep.
and nobody will go without it. I hear that young ones now, they only want the latest, is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And that's $1,200 to $1,500?
That can be thousands, yeah, $2,000, $2,500.
Okay, so do they listen to the news?
No.
By and large, they don't?
No.
Okay. Are they interested in what's happening in New Zealand, let alone what's happening in the greater world?
You know, that's a funny one. I think people are more, I mean, it's a viral world now. People really concentrate on what's trending and what's viral. And I think because what's happening in New Zealand isn't that big what you think it is, it's not as big as they think it should be, you know. They're actually more inclined to notice or feel like they may be affected by things that are happening outside of New Zealand.
Can you give me an example?
Give you an example. Well, here's a big one, Notre Dame, you know. When that burnt down, on social media, which is where youths thrive, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's just like anything from funny gimmicks to sad things to people just angry, sad, you know, it was everywhere. But then when something like a fire happens in New Zealand, right, you don't really see it ever have a presence. Like there was the fire by the Sky Tower recently, right? I saw a glimpse on social media about it, but it just wasn't the same.
Okay, can I swing to another thing?
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, Greenpeace were wanting to save whales.
Yeah.
And also there was the fact that there were nuclear weapons.
Okay.
And Russia and America were vying with each other, producing all these intercontinental ballistic missiles to the extent that they had something like over 30,000 missiles pointed at each other.
Yeah, which they're probably still doing.
Yes. Mm. Okay. I'm glad for that insight. Do whales or anything like that, I mean, we're getting the so-called jump up today of the Extinction Rebellion. Mm-hmm. Has that caught many people's attention?
I wouldn't say the whales specifically, but what's actually given the most insight, especially to youths, is the global warming thing, so which is under the umbrella of save the animals, save the planet, blah, blah, blah. That's caught youth. But it's only that bigger picture that's trickled down to maybe a few noticing the whales or noticing the dolphins or noticing fish or noticing this and that. But it's all come from the global warming thing. So the global warming thing, I think, is not a concern as of yet to youth, because everyone really lives in the present, to be honest. But especially youth, you know, unless you're talking about Greta or someone like that, then most aren't concerned about it. What we've noticed and what my peers have noticed is especially the girls, more than the boys, young girls, have put out a care about this global warming to sort of look relevant. The boys haven't done it so much, but there has been some as well. And obviously some are for good reason, and then some are literally just to stay in with the people, you know, look like, hey, look, I care about this, but really I wouldn't do anything for it. So there's something there. But that would be the most viral concern that is of use these days.
Okay. Yeah. So we sort of covered what's important to them from the standpoint of image, etc.
Yeah.
How do they see the future?
Well, I don't think, especially the youths that I've been in contact with and around, they're not worried about the future in really any light, because they're partying, they're having fun, and then they've school. So there's, yeah, girls, guys, you know, partying. That's what they're worried about. Until they're going to hit 25 and it starts to get a bit more serious, that's maybe when they're going to think about, oh, okay, we should have actually done something about global warming, but we didn't. But they feel like it's all there for them and they don't really need to do anything to improve it.
Okay, because I know that when I went and became more aware, and at 25 years of age, I started to kick in and become super aware.
Yeah, so 25, like I said, is probably when most will actually, you know, the switch will flick and they'll go, okay, there's something more serious than going out and going to the pub and wasting all my money on the newest phone, the newest blah, blah, the newest shoes to stay relevant. Because again, it's all about relevancy. People want to stay relevant. They want to do things that people want to do and they want to take photos of it and be relevant. Hey, look, I'm doing this. I'm relevant.
Okay, what about relationships between guys and gals?
Not good.
They're not good?
No.
And why?
Social media.
Do they sit together and talk, or do they sit together and they text each other?
Second one.
Okay. How do they express themselves when they're talking to each other? Do they have difficulty? Have they got a good vocabulary? Are they able to look into each other's eyes, or are they standoffish?
Oh, I don't think they're standoffish, but the vocabulary is definitely not excellent. I mean, it's really broken down. I mean, it's texting. So, you know, you've got all sorts of short things. I think the big one is it's people can say whatever they want to say, you know, and not really worry about it, whereas you wouldn't say these certain things to people's faces. But it's been the big block. But then I think, was it Elon Musk or one of them, they explained that we shouldn't blame social media. Social media isn't the problem, but it's how we've used it. So social media is actually a fantastic thing. It's changed lives. It promotes things like this. You know, without social media, you won't be able to reach as many people. But then things have festered out of it, like in anything, pros and cons to everything. So in the relationships, it's messy. It's really quite messy. And for me, as someone that is dating, it has been a struggle because I'm not into doing the texting. I'm not actually any good at it. So I'm into talking person to person, one-on-one, like we are right now, and really seeing the body actions and how the expressions on the face and the tonalities, that's what I'm interested in. And you just can't get that out of text.
Okay, well, thank you, because in my day, we were in the flower power generation. Mm-hmm. We're coming into the flower power generation.
Right.
And the old statement, make love, not war,
mm-hmm.
Which means it says it out. We want to love and be good to each other and not violent and get into war.
Right.
Sexual relationships, are they, what are they like?
That's what I'm talking about. It's messy.
Messy.
It's so messy. Girls feel like to be relevant, again, it's all about relevancy. They've got to expose themselves to stay within and to stay in the group and be relevant and, you know, be accepted. But then the bad side of that is then it comes back at them, and then that photo or that text or that thing has gone out to Jeff down the road, then it's gone out to Cindy, then the other one and the other one and the other one, and by the time that happens throughout the old school, and then the person's just feeling absolutely terrible, and then there you go. You've got your suicide problems.
Hugely. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Huge embarrassment. But you see, that's how it's done. Because if you're not doing it, then you're not relevant. And then if you do it, it's just a lose-lose situation. But it's what is being bred. And because, again, it's that text thing. So it's almost internet sex, really.
It's a cross-fertilization of, should we say, bad vibes.
Yeah.
Across a huge arena.
It's the messiest thing for some. Like, if I'm to look at something that's messy for my generation, that my generation has created, not the baby boomers, if I look at that, that is the messiest thing. It's just terrible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know of, what you say, good relationships where girls and guys your age actually get on well with each other?
Only in person.
Pardon?
Only in person.
Some friends who are doing quite well together as
yes,
girls and guys.
But you see, that will only happen in person. So what if you want me to elaborate from that, I don't know many, if any, healthy relationships that are through text.
Oh, yes.
That are maintained through text, that have only been through text. There's very, very few. The ones that are real and the ones that are healthy and the ones that are prospering and the ones that are actually growing into something that is really beautiful and people can actually get something out of are in person.
So put the technology aside, mm-hmm. there's a few real good relationships happening that you know.
Yes.
And it's all because
there's good and bad everywhere, Tim.
Yeah, they've put the technology away,
mm-hmm.
and they can really work it out. And so yes. There's some good ones there. Hooray!
Yep.
This is good. Like yep. to hear this. Tell me about children out of wedlock. Are they happening?
Out of?
Wedlock, which means it's an old-fashioned saying.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to keep up.
Girls getting pregnant.
Yes.
Is there safe sex? Do they talk about safe sex, or is there no real sex happening?
Wow. I think it's definitely on the rise of pregnancies, and, you know, I don't want to go into the subject too much, but then, you know, the abortions is a whole nother one.
And they're happening too?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's on the rise. I mean, from what I've heard, there's now legalized that the day before a child is born, it can be aborted in Australia.
Well, I know that happens in New York.
In New York.
New York, that's happened, and that's right. So this is pretty horrendous stuff.
Yeah.
To leave things like that that late. And what about youth suicide at your age? Have you heard of any suicides?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been personally affected, but I do know a friend of a friend that has come across that, or met that fate, should I say,
We've got a whole lot of things on our plate with that. And
yes, well, it trickles back to the being culturally accepted and being liked and being, you know. Yeah, I mean, the interesting one that you may have not heard about is actually on Instagram. It got so bad, especially in New Zealand, we were the first country to test it in, that Instagram no longer shows likes on posts. And that is because people were comparing themselves to others that were getting more likes. And this is real. They simply took off the feature to view likes. So now, when you go onto your phone and you look at someone's post, you'll no longer see likes. And supposedly that's helped people to stop comparing themselves, but they're still worried about getting the most likes, you know.
Okay, so people, in many ways, they're on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is for old fuddy-duddies my age and younger ones.
Yeah, most of the youth is on Instagram and Snapchat, and, well, the new one that's really coming up is TikTok. You may have not heard about it, but it's a video song you sing to. It's lip-syncing app. Really?
Okay.
So that's another social media that's really cranking it. But in the youth sector, there is youth definitely still on Facebook, but there's not as many as on the other ones. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
Do your generation, what percentage of them think that they are fortunate, say in New Zealand?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. From who I know, people ask the group and could go as far as extended friends and stuff. They're so caught up in their own problems and their own frustrations that they don't actually feel fortunate to be in such a beautiful country that has freedom of speech and all these very amazing things that a lot of other countries don't have. And, you know, this is a pretty peaceful country if we're looking at most. This is a beautiful country. This is quite a majority healthy country, I'd like to think. And, I mean, well, look at it. I really look at it and I go, yeah, I'm really fortunate. But from my friends and my connections and stuff, they are so caught up in that nonsense that they have. And, you know, it's not always nonsense, but it's just family and all this. They don't take time to actually look at how fortunate they are, which is disappointing, but that's the way it is.
Okay. Do youth in New Zealand, do they want to do voluntary work?
Well, no.
When you say voluntary work,
there's... I mean, I know one that does.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. But then he's a pretty special kid, you know, so there would be some, but most of them are really not interested in that. If they're going to get up off their bum and out of their room and not hanging out with friends and they're going to be doing work, they're going to want to be making money so they can go do it all again with their friends.
Okay. You mentioned that person who does this voluntary work,
mm-hmm.
that he's a spiritual person.
Yes, he is.
Pardon?
That I believe.
Yes. What percentage of people believe in God? Because when I was a kid, when I went to school in the mid-1950s, whenever we filled out a form, we were asked what religion we were. We were actually asked on the form, were we a Catholic, were we an Anglican, were we Methodist or Presbyterian?
And so not do that
that's,
now.
That's
you
right.
So
do any of these people there talk about God, for instance, or karma?
No. God, I'm never going to say all, because it's not all, but majority believing in God. I don't know if it's just in New Zealand, but from the youth I know, it's considered embarrassment to have any affiliation with God.
Yeah.
An embarrassment. So if someone were to ask, I guess it would come down to who's asking as well.
Yes.
Like if it was a bit of an older person asking a young person, they probably wouldn't feel like it's embarrassing. But a young person asking a young person if they are spiritually connected or are spiritually inclined in any way, most of the time it's taken as an embarrassment. Like, no, of course not. No way. Are you kidding? You know, like, no way. I'm not that, you know. Which is quite funny to me because I don't think it's definitely not something that should be considered embarrassing. I think it's a personal choice, and it's obviously in the environment you were brought up in. That would be something that I would really feel like would be really beautiful if that changed, because I think we need more of that. I'm a spiritual person, and I don't think it's something you need to be embarrassed about.
Very good. What about karma? Because lots of people now throw up karma when something bad happens, mm-hmm. or even when something good happens.
Yeah, karma's a funny one. I'm a believer that karma comes later, and then sometimes it comes now. But then I'm also a very big believer that good things and good vibes do generate other good things and good vibes, because you're putting that out there to people. You know, just like you and me having a really good conversation here, you're going to go on and you're going to talk about this and you're going to say, oh, it was really wonderful and this, you know. Whereas if I'm being negative about something, then the opposite's going to happen. That's what I believe, and that's sort of just how I follow life. Every time I do something good, I don't expect something in return. Never do I expect. Never. No, I don't expect. I just go, okay, I've done my juice. That's what I've done. Well, and if I do something bad, well, I go, if something else happens, you know, if I bang my toe on something, I'm like, yeah, I probably deserved it.
Okay. Yeah, this is good. Thank you. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, likewise.
Now, thoughts on baby boomers, my generation, because from my standpoint, because New Zealanders didn't have to go to a war.
Yep.
We were volunteers who went to Vietnam, but there weren't many.
Yeah.
And they volunteered.
Yep.
And they came back pretty traumatised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yes. So what do you think, or what do the younger generation think of us guys? Because we have had our cake and eat it too.
Mm, I think it's more of a people don't, or I think youth don't really like taking responsibility for their actions. So I think with the given the chance, they're going to blame it on the baby boomers. And of course you guys didn't do everything perfectly, but the thing is that we're also not doing great things either. So I think it's not something that should be blamed. It should be something that we work together on fixing and maybe making better. And I think everyone should be a part of a better change, and I don't think anyone should be blamed on it, because we all, you know, make mistakes. But I don't know, I'm not really into blaming people. So I know that with youth, and I've had similar conversations, that they're going to blame it on the oldies. There, they did this, they did that. And it's just like, well, what are you actually going to do to try fix it? If you were in their place, you would have done the same thing. So that's just my standpoint on it. Yeah.
Because we have the situation at the moment, we've got 5G wireless technology
mm-hmm.
being essentially rolled out across New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to all the different groups who are concerned about it,
yes,
it's the baby boomers.
Yeah,
it's all the old guys.
Yeah,
the grandmothers and the grandfathers.
Yeah.
So we have a technology that we're asking for governments, particularly the industry, to prove that it's safe. They've done research by an independent body
mm-hmm.
that if you have a beehive beside a wireless transmitter,
yeah.
that all those bees come through this
yeah.
100%. There's no drop off.
Yeah.
Or that there are pets that aren't affected, or what's mm-hmm. the story with babies being affected.
Yeah.
We haven't had any research, no independent research has come to us about 5G.
Mm.
How do the young, your generation, see 5G? Do they even know about it?
Yeah, well, before we go to that, I think it's also interesting to point out that I had this conversation about 5G, and who it was with was a telecom engineer, and he wasn't old. So blaming it on the baby boomers is sure, but then the people that are implementing this technology, they're not old. They're young people. So it's us. It's not you guys and then us. It's we're all combined. It's us, everyone. It's not the oldies and the youngies. We're all on the same planet. We're all on the same ship, if you want. And we should all be working towards a better future, I mean.
Yeah, resolving it.
Resolving it. Just putting in a little bit of effort. If you see something on the side of the road, pick it up, you know. It's simple stuff, but the thing is that the youngies and the youth, they don't want to take that responsibility, you know.
The other day I was walking along the street in Warkworth, and I saw a piece of paper coming along, and I instantly went down to pick it up.
Yep.
And I thought, gosh, I'm not going to do that.
Why not?
Because I do it where I work, in a large holiday park.
Okay.
And I've picked it up. I've picked it up, particularly when I go on trails and hikes in the bush, I'll always pick up. But I thought if I picked it up then and picked it up, I have done it. I have done it in the street. And I thought, what would happen if, would you bend down and pick it up usually? Or do you think that, oh, there's so much more paper 20 metres up?
No, no, I don't think like that at all.
Yeah.
No, no. The way I do it is if something is not easy but is in my reach, you know, I'm not going to have to crawl down a hill to get it, I'll pick it up.
Okay.
That's my range. And my big one is on the beach. So since I live by the coast, I've selected that as, okay, that's my cleanup. If I see anything on the beach, I go for a run every day. And if I see anything on the beach, I just grab it, put it in a little pile, then bring it back to my car and chuck it in the rubbish, you know.
We're on the same page as that too, because I live by the beach and I'm constantly picking up beer bottles and stuff. Now, would you pick stuff up with a whole group of you? If you're five or six of you walking along the beach? Yeah. Because they could, oh, look, here's Jesse in this video picking stuff up off the beach. And next minute it's all over the internet.
Me personally, I'm not worried about that. But I mean, in a group, you're not thinking about it.
Yes.
Because you're in a group, you know, the group's interesting. If something was right in my way, I wouldn't be thinking that at all. I'd like to be a role model and show people and my friends and people I hang around. If they're going to give me that sort of reaction for doing something that I find positive, then they can just get out of my way, because I don't mingle with people that aren't on that wavelength. So I wouldn't be embarrassed at all. It's more like I would walk past it because I wouldn't see it. But if it's right in front of me, then of course I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah, well, you see, some people have got, shall we say, they're mindful or have a duty of care.
Yeah.
And if we've got good folks, and I met your mum, and I realise how fortunate you have been in having your mother bring you into the world. And so that's always a wonderful thing. I mean, my mum was always like that too. When I went to bed at night in winter, I'd always come to my bed, and it was late at night, I'd find a hot water bottle in between my pyjamas and that sort of thing. It was just a loving, nurturing mum to do that. And so this is another thing with teenagers talking to their parents. We all went through that stage. I went through a stage because we were going through puberty, and sexuality wasn't really talked about.
Yep.
And that was a big sort of hurdle for a lot of us. And a lot of kids my age didn't even get the facts of life explained to them.
Right.
And so they learnt it at street level.
Yeah.
And this sort of thing.
Yeah. I think I haven't learned it like that. So you still learn it like that through school, you know.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's right. Now, we've got an interesting situation that I heard. We had a transgender guy who became a woman, or he entered a running race and as a strong male in the stadium, he's a woman, and he won the race and he keeps winning all the races, and all the women or young girls who have put their whole life into it are trailing behind this guy.
This big man. Yeah.
And then he stands at the dais saying, look at me, boy, I won the race. And all the girls are heartbroken.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
So where does this whole transgender thing come in? And I don't want you to, you know, go on a tirade, because you might not have a tirade to go on. But what I'm wanting to do is you hear about the transgender thing, and now they're looking at, oh, gosh, we've got to have transgender toilets. And so there's a huge cost in the future.
PC.
Yeah, okay.
I don't need to elaborate more than that. It's PC.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't like to comment too much on things that I don't have a big grasp on, but the thing is that It's just, I can't blame it because I like people to feel comfortable in their own skin. I like people to, if that's who you want to be, how you want to be, go do it, as long as it's not bugging me, you know? So I'm not like, oh, this is a horrible thing. But then again, you know, there should be some restrictions on stuff like that. I mean, like, this is a big man. Poor girls, obviously. You get big girls too. Some heavily strong girls that can do that sort of stuff. But yeah, if you got a guy in something like this, of course, it's just unfair. And the toilets, nah. I mean, maybe, but nah. It's
a difficult one, yeah. Because women are going to the toilet. The next minute they see this guy next to them. And they can see there that he's, I mean, he could be a perv, or we know. I mean, I don't.
Well, man, I think I'd be more worried if that came into the men's, man. Yeah. I would be like, what?
Yes, yeah, well, yeah. There's all this. It's yeah. Very, very muddled. And I'm just going to jump across the transgender guys weightlifting. Well, they're always going to win.
Oh, yeah.
They're always going to win. Okay, then we'll move on. But this is what's happening. And as a GreenPlanetFM.com program, we want to be able to talk this through, let people know, because there's a lot of conservative people, and there's part of me that's quite conservative, that, and they're wanting to know what's going on, because they're at a loss to understand what's happening on social media. I mean, that you can send pictures of your genitals from your iPhone. It's I mean, holy heck, at my age, we didn't know the anatomy.
It's the culture that's been bred. It is what it is. It's not going to change.
Not going to change. No. Now, can I swing this right round?
Yes.
I'm speaking with Jesse Page, a 14-year-old entrepreneur from Northland here in New Zealand. The family unit. With your mum and dad, you can hang out with mum and dad and you get on pretty well.
My mum and dad are my best friends, my role models, my everything. I couldn't do anything that I'm doing without them.
Do you hang out with them quite a bit?
Yes, every day. I don't leave. There's one day I go into the city or the town a week, and all the other time is just working, problem solving with them and just learning and really just realizing what life is actually about, not all the stuff that seems to concern most youth these days.
And you can tell, hey, mum and dad, I love you.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, my generation, so hard. Mm. I mean, I was in my, I don't know, 40s when I told my mother that I loved her.
Mm.
And I got a mate who actually chased his father around the farm and ran him down.
Mm.
And when his father sort of collapsed on the heap, he picked him up. He says, Dad, I finally caught you. I love you. The father didn't want to confront his son saying, I love you.
Yeah.
And so to chase him around the farm, I mean, this is mind-blowing.
Yeah, no, that's great dedication from the son.
And we've got to keep the family unit together.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I actually don't have an insight to how it was back then, but from I'm actually, not my personal experience, but almost my personal experience, because I get involved with people's problems quite often because they seek some advice or something. And obviously I don't have that with my parents, but I've had the relationship with parents and families as a unit is quite messy as well. I don't know if it was always like that, but I feel like, again, with the introduction of the internet and all these other things that have come into play, it's been very, very messy for a lot of people. I don't know if it's on the increase, or I don't know if it was always like that, but it seems like I can't miss someone without going past them with some huge problem. They go to counselling every day, or they go to counselling every week, and they have to go do this. They got to go see a therapist on something like this. I'm just like, what?
We didn't have it nowadays.
Oh, you didn't? Well, there you go. There you go.
That's right.
That answered my question right there.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, it's prominent now, very prominent. These people that are just really seem, and they are beautiful and they have good intentions. Oh, man, they just have, like, lives are just, even in beautiful New Zealand, they have, their lives are just, I don't know, out of it, yeah.
So if you went to a mate's place,
yeah,
how would you get on with their parents? Would you find them okay?
I have never had a bad relationship with parents. I can relate to them because I know what they worry about and I know all that. But then the relationship between the children and the parents, that's a very different story.
Yeah, you see, because the parents must come, oh, Jesse, oh, thank you. Mm. You're a breath of fresh air. Hi, yeah. Jesse, good to see you.
Yes.
And
yes.
You have good vibes there.
Yes.
And they must be thinking, oh, gosh, if I could only have my kids hang in there with me.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely that, but it's more of a level thing and a consistency thing on how frequently these negative events are happening, if you want. And of course, you know, we all have it. I'm no exception, you know. There is times where you get frustrated with one another and you just gotta vent. But it's when it's taken to the next level, and New Zealand is quite prone for that. That happens often, you know, where the parents and the children just cannot relate, and there's just a breakdown of communication, and that's where you lose it, because communication is just so important. I've found out that just you trying to get here, you know, three bays, you know, I didn't put out that point, and it made it quite difficult for you to get here. So communication is just so important, and I don't think they're teaching communication with your actual people that you spend the most time with, which are your parents and your siblings.
Yes, to verbalise it and say, okay, are we on the same page?
Mm.
In particular, I would like to think, can you repeat it back to me, what I said, so that I make sure that what I told you was
right.
Clear,
yep.
So that, you know, I get the understanding. Because, yes, so I got down to the three bays, and then I turned around and went back thinking,
yep.
I'd gone past. This is all good, because communication, if we haven't got communication, we've got nothing.
Mm.
We've got nothing.
No, it's just vital. It's
yes.
Vital. I mean,
yes.
A miscommunication of a few words can start a war, you know what I mean?
That's how they start.
That's how they start. It doesn't take a lot. Communication is just so important, but people just miss it. They just miss that importance. That's a big effect of today, and I think even if communication was very strong in social media and was really relevant in social media, it would actually change a lot, I think. It would really benefit the people that are at the moment being, well, used and manipulated and are getting caught up in the millennial problems.
Yes. So if you had the opportunity to want to go out into the world,
yes,
and say, hey, guys, I'll tell you what, I come from a good, loving family. I'm so fortunate. These are some of the things that I'd want to share with you. What would you want to be able to tell your generation what works for you, so that girls can feel safe and guys can feel that they're acknowledged? Just quickly, do the younger generation, are they really interested in any sport?
Oh, yeah.
Their sport?
Yeah, that's very relevant.
Very well.
Oh, yeah. Sports are a very prominent, and it's very healthy, obviously. Being involved with sports, a hobby, you know, anything like that. Yeah, sports are very relevant in today. I think they've been since time began, really. Kicking a rock to kicking a rugby ball, it's all the same thing. But yeah, I think that's something that people love, and I think that's something that hasn't been sheltered down and has actually been more, I don't know, what's the word?
And team games.
Yeah.
There's team spirit.
Yeah, teamwork.
And what you do is that if you've got the ball and you're running and you could get a try or maybe not, but you've got a person outside you, and if you throw that person that ball, you know they will get their try.
Yeah.
The team spirit is to pass that ball and that person scores.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm endeavouring to work out. Your generation will work for the betterment of the whole at that level.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So what else would you want to offer up to your generation as a way through it? What about the big picture?
Mm-hmm.
About, hey, you guys, we can create a new reality?
Yeah, the big picture.
Tomorrow. To be perfectly frank, when I'm 90 years of age, which is in 20 years' time,
yes,
I want you to be in a very strong position as an elder, as a civic wise one, as a pillar of society, to be a guide so that I can look forward to knowing that the younger generation who are just not born today have got you in a strong position to take care of our society.
I think I'm learning still. That's what I think. I think I'm learning those values still. But, I mean, again, it's going to be communication, it's going to be teamwork, it's going to be honesty as well. Honesty, I'm a big campaigner of honesty. And yeah, I mean, those values, I mean, enough to make a huge difference. I think a cultural change in not only school, but in just, I mean, in everything. I think the one thing that I'd really like is for people to not be insecure and not be worried about what people think as much as they do, and actually be able to do things like, the thing that really bugs me, this is a bigger one, because I know we always compare ourselves to people, you know, that's just human nature, and of course you're going to be jealous, and of course people are going to pick on people, but what really gets me is when people miss out on things and they don't take opportunities just because they think that the cultural perception of Frank down the road is going to think that, oh, you're a menace for doing that and you shouldn't have done that. And realistically, that person would have loved it and they would have really got into it and they maybe would have created a career out of it, or they may have gone on to do something great, but they've been crushed from a cultural perception.
Thank you. Because it's like, you don't want to be pushed down to the degree. I see a lot of young ones and they don't take the risks that I used to take.
Yeah.
When I was young, God, it's a wonder I'm alive.
That's school. I feel like that's school. School is like, you try climbing up the tree. No, you can't do that. Come down your tree. Come down your tree. They're just like pillows. They put pillows for you everywhere, so we can't really experience it ourselves. But the problem is I think when we do experience it, we experience, since we didn't get to try, sort of test the waters, we really test the waters. And that's when we go wrong, because instead of just trying a little bit of alcohol, a little beer or half a beer, just to taste it, we're going to have five. You know, we're going to have six and we're going to get trashed and we're going to go out onto the road and get run over. So these things that are being stopped and being pillowed and people aren't getting to try these things, they go do the extreme. And that's never good, you know. So maybe alcohol is not a great example, but, you know, the tree, again.
Climb that tree, but have some practice beforehand.
Exactly. And we're not allowed to practice.
That's right.
We're betting the pillows are there, so when we fall, we're going, okay, this time I'm going to go higher, and there's going to be no pillows because I'm on my own this time, and I'm going to fall and I'm going to break everything instead of just my arm, you know. So,
or you could actually fall in front of a whole group of your friends, and then that'll embarrass you.
Well, there you go.
Big time.
Stuffed if you do, stuffed if you don't.
Okay, alcohol and dope. What's the story of your generation? Alcohol and smoking dope or doing drugs? Big time?
Yes.
Big time?
Yes.
Because one of my big things there is that women or girls being plied with alcohol or plied with drugs, and then when they're out of it, then they're taken advantage of. Does that happen? It happened a wee bit in my generation.
Well, I don't think so much. It does, but it doesn't happen as much as people would think.
That's nice to know.
Especially not in New Zealand.
Yes.
I think it's actually more relevant in people in the maybe age of 30s to 40s, where that's actually more often happening. But yeah, in the youth, that's not happening too much. But the big one's alcohol. It's alcohol. Weed and marijuana isn't your problem. It's not your problem. It's not your problem. It's alcohol.
Because
alcohol,
usually you're thirsty. You're thirsty, so you want to drink. And if you haven't had a couple of glasses of water in the afternoon, and you get to a situation where there's a few drinks available, you might take two of them or three of them to quench your thirst, and because you're thirsty, and bang, you could be halfway on your way.
That example I haven't seen before, but it's more in examples where people don't want to drink alcohol, or they do want to try it because they didn't get to test it. So they go all out in front of their friends. So it's either, the two ones are going to be your social pressure. So you're going to be, there's a term for it. I'm just saying social pressure.
Yes,
you'll get what I mean. And that's like, there's five guys in here, two girls, and I don't want to drink, but everyone's going, Jesse, drink, drink, go on, have one. Go on, have one, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on. And it's like, no, I don't really want to. And it's like, fine, I have one. And then one, it's like, yeah, wasn't that bad? Oh, yeah, but no, you know, it happens like that. But then the other one would be that you haven't tried it, so you're going to go again and again and again and again, and you want to feel what it's like. So,
and you're motherless within half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And the girls particularly so, because they can't absorb it as easily, or, you know.
Yeah, that, is that true?
Women can get drunk faster than a man because they've got a smaller body mass. Okay. And so it can have an effect.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, we've got some big ones for us, Jesse, but this is good. This is good. We've got a few more minutes.
Yes.
And sure, so you're wanting to say, well, look, guys, I want you to have a good life. Yeah. I want you to be able to enjoy some of the travel. Are they interested in travel, or is it part of their OE, overseas experience, or does it not yet come up for them?
I think that's a personal thing. I'm actually not fond of travelling.
Okay.
I'm happy where I live. I mean,
Jesse's got a wonderful place to live. I'm going to assure you it's just profoundly beautiful with the views. So
I'm not someone that wants to travel too much, but I think it's a personal thing. The big ones for me is experience and cultures. So if I ever do travel, it's not for scenery, it's for culture. So that's what's interesting to me. And I think quite a few youths, they share that same value and that same aspect of it, yeah.
Do they like eating organic food? Does organics come into it? GE free? Nuclear free New Zealand? Does that mean anything?
No.
No. The fact that New Zealand was the first country on earth to give or allow women to have the vote, is that important? Does it come up in conversation?
No.
No. That New Zealand was basically the first country to give an 8-hour working day? Because that's important, because if you're going to work, if somebody way back worked very, very diligently to make sure that New Zealand had 8 hours of work, 8 hours of leisure, and we've got enough 8 hours for sleep.
Right.
Do many people know about that, do you think?
No, I personally didn't know that because I don't work for people, so I'm not worried about it. But my friends are actually looking to get as many hours as they can because they want to make more money, so that's their effect on it, yeah.
So money is quite a goal.
Yes.
As against...
Well, look, you can buy this.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
You can buy everything. If you got your money, you can be relevant.
Right, okay. So you don't know if there's many Gandhis out there in New Zealand who are prepared to work for the benefit of the world other than to become rich and famous.
No.
No.
I don't. But again, I'm not in that environment.
That's so right.
There will be some. There's probably...
Yes.
You know, I mean, there'll be thousands of them. But where are they? I don't know. But most of them probably don't go to a formal education. And most of them are probably out in the whoppers somewhere. Most of them probably don't have social media. And those are the ones that are actually down to earth enough to ever even grasp doing something to benefit someone else than themselves.
Okay, what about, say, America having a gun is a big deal. In New Zealand? None of your friends or anybody in social media, they don't talk about guns, do they?
What? But doing what with them, though?
Well, I don't know. I have a protection. I mean, there's...
No, never for protection. I mean, people that want to be... I've heard, like, people that want to be... Again, relevant, they do the, like, they look at me, you know, I can hold a gun, you know, I've got one, if anyone comes over, you know. I don't hear that much, but I've seen it a bit. But it's more like for sports, people have weapons, but it's not, I mean, New Zealand's not a very big thing unless you're around the gang territory, then that's when it becomes a relevancy.
Good. But essentially, I mean, the younger generation, they're peaceful. Are they peaceful? Would you say that, or have they got sort of frustrations and there could be deep rage underneath for unfulfillment or not being able to accomplish what they want could it be a frustrated generation at one level?
Well...
Doesn't come through? It's a hard one because,
it is a hard one. I think it is. I think in some aspects it's definitely a frustrated generation. But then again, I think it's more so a culturally insecure generation. That's what I think it's more. I don't think there's many angry people, but I think there's more people that are just not feeling good in their own skin.
Well, I can understand that. Yeah, too right. Particularly if you don't believe in a candle and have a spiritual disconnection from existence, be it, you know, the creator or God or whatever. And there's one other question I want to ask. Do they like the idea of voting for a leadership, or is politics out of the game?
Zero. No. Haven't even ever heard any person under the age of probably 25 talk about anything to do with politics.
Okay, so
or any voting, anything. It's like so not in their mind. Yeah.
And will that mean that they're prepared to just allow things to go on as they are?
Mm.
And
yeah, definitely.
They'll just accept the situation, even if it's going downhill. They'll just cling to the ship as it goes down.
Yep. A lot of them will. Some of them won't, but a lot of them will.
A lot of them will.
A lot of them will.
Yes.
I can be quite sure of that. Yeah. I can promise you that.
Okay. Yeah. Having a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a sense of purpose that they have?
No. I think that they would like to have one, but they can't find it.
I'm just going to cover this now. Just put this in the notes, all right. Jesse,
yes.
You've been able to help me so much. I've learned a lot. Yep. I want to say thank you very much for wanting to just say what it is like being in a 14-year-old body doing my best to navigate life.
In 2020.
In 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for coming out, Tim. Good stuff. Happy we could have this conversation. And I hope it brings some value to some people.
Well, I'm really trusting it's going to bring some value, because it's brought value to me.
Yeah.
Because we've got to get in and we've got to do our best to make sure that we have got young ones here taking care of us old people, but more so taking care of children in the far future.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've studied a lot of civilizations in my life. I've gone to all these different countries. Mm-hmm. And they all end up being corrupted, basically.
Yeah.
And falling away. And this goes back to all the monuments from Egypt and Babylon and Iran and China. China's been able to sort of hold on a wee bit. But the Mayans in South America or Central America, all struggling. So, yeah. This is continuing to go.
Well, good. Well, I'm going to... Do you want to end off there? Because I can keep you on about
it. Okay. Throw us some insights. So it's been a pleasure...
Yes.
...speaking with you.
Yes, likewise.
Boy, I mean, I just want to have you, two dozen of you, and we can sort out New Zealand.
I think so.
Good. So thank you very much.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Given me some insight as well, some things I didn't know. So that's
excellent.
Tim, thanks for coming out. I'm happy I could give you insight into the youth world. Yeah, it's been a pleasure, man. It's been really good. My candle really burns strong, and I want others to realize that they have a candle that they can burn just as strong as mine. And it's really important to me that people can learn about that, and people can actually realize that there is a life ahead of them, and they should be very excited for the future. Just going back to the 5G thing about people or youth, are they worried about 5G? I don't think... I know they're not. I actually, when I first discovered the 5G against we shouldn't be doing this, I posted it on my personal social media, and usually I get like a lot of interactions from different things, and it's the one thing that people were just so dry on. It was so not culturally relevant that people, they didn't see it, and it just swept right past them. So going on the 5G thing, people or youth are not worried about it at all. How they've seen it, it's going to benefit them. If it does, if it doesn't, we don't know. But how they're looking at it, yay, my Wi-Fi is going to be, or my data is going to be faster. And yay, you know, there's going to be more technology out of this. So on a youth side and a youth perspective, 5G is not a concern.
Thank you. And one thing is, you have got an Instagram account.
Yes.
How many people on your Instagram? How many followers?
I've done quite a bit of Instagram, and I've created communities, because I'm very community-orientated, created communities for people to have jokes and have things, and they've racked up some numbers. But on my personal following, it's just people I know. But on these communities, I also posted it out, and they are majority youth. On these ones are a bit older, so maybe you could be looking at people up to 25, maybe 26, 27, 28, maybe even 30. But those people are...
Jesse, the first day I met you, you had an Instagram account, you had 99,000 followers.
Correct.
And this was 11 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going? How many followers have you now?
I think it's around 150,000. Around that mark.
150,000 followers, New Zealand? Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, not bad for a guy 14 years of age. Fantastic. Fantastic. Jesse, cheers, brother.
Yes.
Good on you.
Yes. In that, there I'm also part of the biggest community of Instagrammers in New Zealand as well. So all around, that's a network of in the millions.
So where's that account at the moment?
That same account is now, I think all around on my accounts, it's up to about 240,000 followers combined. And it's always growing.
And you've got also one, you've got a 5G free New Zealand
one. Yes, yeah, I do have a 5G free New Zealand one. That's got a few hundred followers now, and that people are getting into it. And I think it's spreading some awareness for the course.
Excellent. Jesse, thank you, brother. Kia ora.
No problem. Kia ora.
Okay. That was 14-year-old New Zealander Jesse Page. This is a postscript to that very good interview that Jesse Page was able to share with us here on greenplanetfm.com. And I'm really concerned about our education system at present. We need to see ourselves from a holistic perspective of the biosphere, of a planet going through time and space. And I'm concerned that our children's viewpoint on life is so limited to what's actually in their hand, their smartphone. We all share the same breath within the biosphere. Every human being is sharing breath with not only the fauna and the flora, sharing breath with animals and with plants, trees and plankton. We are all connected within the magnificence of what this planet freely offers us up. And she, Mother Earth, lends us a free body, free air, free rainfall, and until recently, a free food chain. What do we give back in reciprocity? This is important to convey to our children, especially if you love them. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send. And remember, even Facebook. To tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.7 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world.
and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say kia kaha and haere ura.